to invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm 121. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles underneath the chairs that are in front of you, and I would invite you to take one of those so you can follow along in this psalm this morning. Psalm 121, it's on page 516 in those blue Bibles that are there underneath the chairs. If you've ever made a playlist for a long road trip, you can understand our series through the Psalms that we're walking through this summer. They're called the Songs of Ascents, and they were like a playlist or a sing list for the Jewish people as they made their way three times every year to the city of Jerusalem for the festivals that God called them to come together for in Jerusalem. And we started this series last Sunday morning in Psalm 120, and today we come to the second of these songs of ascents. And as we mentioned last Sunday morning, they're called that because they were songs that were sung as the people made their way to Jerusalem, and you always went up to Jerusalem because of the elevation of the city. So whether you came from north, south, east, or west, you were always going up. You were ascending to Jerusalem, and that's the background to the heading that you'll see again at the beginning of 121 as we did last week in 120. Follow along as I read these verses. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Again, think about this psalm, this song, being sung by God's people, the Jewish people, as they are making their way to Jerusalem. As they approach Jerusalem, they would begin to see hills, because Jerusalem is surrounded by hills, and Jerusalem is on a mountain, Mount Zion. And so as they're making their way on this pilgrimage to their holy city, where God had caused his name to dwell on earth, they would see hills, and as they saw those hills, they would sometimes feel vulnerable. Similarly, you and I go through life and have a tendency to feel vulnerable. Sometimes we feel vulnerable to financial collapse, physical illness. Sometimes we feel vulnerable to social rejection or emotional meltdown. We can easily and rightly feel small and weak and defenseless as we make our way through this world. So the question is this morning, what should we say to ourselves and what should we say to each other as we are together pilgrims on this journey to the heavenly Jerusalem, our eternal home? As we feel vulnerable, when we feel insecure, what do we need to say to ourselves, and what do we need to say to each other in order to encourage us to remember what we've just sung? Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. We're going to call the message this morning from Psalm 21, eternal security. Eternal security, because that's what this psalm is ultimately about. You talk to yourself, you just may not want to admit it. And today, we're going to see how important it is that when we talk to ourselves, that we say the right things. And this song, especially verses 1 and 2, are a script for us to use when we talk to ourselves. Paul Tripp said this, and I had this on a mirror for a long time in a bathroom at our house because it was so, I think, important for me to remember. He said this, "No one is more influential in your life than you are. Because no one talks to you as much as you talk to yourself. People laugh at that statement, he continues, but I'm really quite serious. You're in an unending, incredibly important conversation with your soul every moment of every day. You interpret, organize, and analyze what's going on inside and outside of you. You talk to yourself about the past, you talk to yourself about the future, and you talk to yourself about what you're experiencing in the present. Obviously, this is an internal conversation. If you had this conversation aloud, they would probably put you into a ward. But that's why it's so dangerous. You often don't even realize that you're saying things to yourself, but you are. He continues, you're saying things to you that will shape your desires, your actions, and your theology. What are you saying to you about God and your circumstances? Do your words stimulate faith, hope, and courage? Or does your talk stimulate doubt, discouragement, and fear? Do you remind yourself that God is near? Or do you reason within yourself, given your circumstances, that he must be distant? Here's the question. How wholesome, faith-driven, and Christ-centered is the conversation that you have with yourself every day? Do you remind yourself of your need? Do you point yourself once again to the beauty and practicality of God's grace? Do you tell yourself to run to him in those moments when you feel like running from him? No one is more influential in your life than you are, because no one talks to you as much as you talk to yourself. And what will you say to you today? That's what verses 1 and 2 help us with. Look, if you will, again at this psalm. And notice that the first two verses are in the first person. Notice in verses 1 and 2, I and my. So here is the psalmist and those who are singing, the singers, speaking to or singing to themselves. They are reminding themselves of something. If you'll jump down also, you'll notice that this changes in verse 3. From there, you see, beginning in verse 3, you see your and you. That's second person. So in verses 1 and 2, I and my. So let's answer this question as we come to these verses. What should we say to ourselves as pilgrims when we feel vulnerable and insecure, as we will in this life that we are passing through? Verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's a pretty good script for us to use when we have conversations with ourselves, particularly when we feel insecure and when we feel vulnerable. Now, the reference here to hills is important. I lift up my eyes to the hills. And then he continues with a question, from where does my help come from? And then he says it comes from the Lord. The question is, what is he thinking about as he looks at the hills? Why does he look to the hills and then begin to think about where his help comes from? Some people suggest that the hills would have reminded these pilgrims as they drew close to Jerusalem, surrounded by hills, itself, the city of Jerusalem being on Mount Zion in the midst of those hills, as they drew closer to Jerusalem on their pilgrimage and they saw these hills, those hills would have reminded them of their source of help. Because Jerusalem was among those hills, and Jerusalem was the place on earth where God had chosen to cause his name to dwell and where he had called his people these three times every year to come together to worship him. He was their helper. And so the hills probably did, in fact, remind the pilgrims of their source of help, who was the Lord, as he says at the end of verse 2. But it also may be true that as they looked at the hills, that they saw and that those hills reminded them of their need for help. Because as they were approaching Jerusalem, they would begin to go up hills that were even steeper than they had been on at this point. The incline would increase as they got closer to Jerusalem. And they would go up and around and through these hills as they made their way to Mount Zion, and there was danger in the hills. Hills were dangerous places, especially in those days. For example, there was the danger of thieves. Quite often, thieves would hide in caves and crevices and around corners as you would make your way through mountains or hills. And so that was a danger that may have been at least in part what they were thinking, what the psalmist was thinking as he wrote this song. But there's also another danger in the hills. Not only the danger of thieves, but the danger of tripping. If your foot slips or if you trip and you're on a precipice, you're at a place where there's a great fall, where there's a great drop-off, you can have a very serious fall and you can hurt yourself, maybe even kill yourself. A fall can be fatal in the hills. And so it could be, some say one, some say the other, I say maybe both are behind the reference to the hills here at the beginning of the psalm and what the psalmist is thinking about as he thinks about these hills and going toward and going through these hills to get to Jerusalem. So what should we say to ourselves in light of what we see in verses 1 and 2? And let me give you that statement that I've sort of put together based on these two verses, and then let me back it up by showing you where I find this in verses 1 and 2. Here's what I think you should say to yourself, what I should say to myself when I feel insecure. I have the always faithful and all-powerful Lord as my helper. That's what you should be telling yourself when you feel vulnerable and when you feel insecure. I have the always faithful and all-powerful Lord as my helper. Now, where do I get that? First of all, notice that the term Lord in all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that the name Lord appears in this psalm five times. In verse 2, we see the Lord. In verse 5, we see the Lord twice. In verse 7, we see the Lord. And then in verse 8, we see another and final reference to the Lord. And whenever you see in your English Bible, in the Old Testament, the word Lord written in all capital letters, it's an indicator that the Hebrew word there is the word Yahweh or Jehovah, which is the personal name that God gave for himself when he appeared to Moses at the burning bush, when Moses said, "Whom shall I say sent me?" When God sent him to Egypt to deliver his people. And he said, "Tell them that Yahweh," or "I am," "has sent you." And "I am," or "I am that I am," speaks to the fact that the God of Israel and that our God through Jesus Christ is unchanging, that he is self-existent, that he is eternal, and that he is immutable or unchanging. And therefore, because he is this, we can know that he is an all-faithful, always faithful God. This name is the covenant name for God in the Bible, Yahweh or Jehovah. And so, the covenant God of Israel is our God, and just as he is always faithful to his covenant, toward Israel and toward you and me through Jesus Christ, we can trust that He is always faithful. He is the covenant God. And then we're told at the end of verse 2 that He is also the one who made heaven and earth. So He's the covenant God and He's the creator God. And so if He's the covenant God, He's always faithful to His covenant because He never changes. He's the all-faithful one. And if He is the creator God, the one who made heaven and earth, then He is also all-powerful. And these two are important together. Because, you see, you might have someone who says they will help you, and they may be committed to helping you, but they may not be capable of helping you. Or you may have someone who says they will help you, and they may be capable of helping you, but they may not be committed to helping you. They may be able to help you, but not attentive to help you. But this text says that God is both. The Lord, Yahweh, who is our God, is both. He is always faithful. He is all-powerful. He is committed, and He is capable. And He is our helper. He is the one who helps us. And that's what we need to say to ourselves. That's what we need to sing to ourselves when we feel vulnerable and when we feel insecure. Now, I want you to notice in verses 3 through 8, again, as I mentioned earlier, the pronouns change, and now we're not having first person. We don't have I and my. We have second person, your and you. And so here we have someone being spoken to. So we're going to answer the question here in verses 3 through 8. What should we say to others who, like us, are pilgrims on this journey to heaven? This world is not our home if we're followers of Jesus Christ. Heaven is our home. And as we're passing through this world, how can we and how should we encourage each other when others around us are insecure and feel vulnerable? What should we say to others? I want you to notice specifically in verses 3 through 8 the fact that the word keep appears 6 times. The Lord appears 5 times in the psalm, and He is called the one who keeps or the keeper 6 times in the last part of this psalm. In verse 3, we see that word used. In verse 4, the same word is used. Verse 5, 2 times in verse 7, and then again in verse 8. Some translations will have protect and keep, but it's the same word in the original, and it's repeated 6 times for us in this song, or in the psalm in these last verses. When I think about what is being said here in the last part of this text and what we should be saying to each other to encourage each other when we begin to be fearful and anxious in this world is captured, I think, in the New Testament, in 1 Peter, where Peter refers to those he addresses as elect exiles, and then he goes on to say who are kept. There's the same word, even though there it's in the Greek, it's translated in the same way in English. Elect exiles, he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. So you and I, if we've put our faith in Jesus Christ, can trust that the Lord will be our keeper, that He will keep us. Now let's look specifically at 2 ways in which He keeps us. Look at verses 3 and 4 next. Verse 3, He will not let your foot be moved. We need to say this to others who are on this journey with us. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Here's something you can say to someone else. If I were to try to put this in a sentence, what we see in verses 3 and 4, the Lord will preserve His people from slipping at all times and without failure. That's what's being said in verses 3 and 4. The Lord will preserve His people from slipping at all times and without failure. Remember, I mentioned earlier that if you slip or if your foot is moved and you're going up the hills or around a corner and you're close to an edge, the result could be a fatal fall. Verse 3, He will not let your foot be moved. The implication here is He will not allow you to have a fall like that. He will protect you. He will protect you. I think of the song we sang actually this past Sunday, and I think it parallels what's being said in verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. Today we would say He will not let your soul be lost. Because that's what this points to ultimately. He will not let your soul be lost. If you know Christ as your Savior and the Spirit of God lives within you, He will hold you fast. That's what this psalm is pointing to. Melody's dad, my wife's dad, was a pastor for many years. And I can't read this part of the psalm without remembering this story. There was a man in his church who said that at a dinner table or a devotion, I don't remember exactly which it was, but he was asking his kids what they had learned at church about God. And one of the little boys said to his father that God doesn't sleep. He had learned that. And he had learned that God didn't slobber. And he had learned that from this text, but he had misunderstood. He doesn't sleep and He doesn't slumber, is what the text says. And what he's saying and what God is saying here and what we need to remind each other of is that our God is faithful. He is always awake. He is always alert. There will never be a moment when we are not under His care and that our foot will be moved and that we will experience a fatal fall. He won't let our soul be lost. Jude 24 puts it this way, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling," same thing I think he's talking about here, "and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy." That's what God will do for those who are in Christ. He will keep us from stumbling. He will keep our foot from being moved. In this sense, we will be saved. We will, in fact, enjoy eternal glory and eternal life and eternal joy because God will be faithful and He will hold us fast. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. I can't help when I read this, but think of the confrontation between the prophet Elijah and the prophets of Baal that we read about in 1 Kings chapter 18. Remember that story? There's Elijah and there are all the prophets of Baal, and there's going to be this contest to see who the true God is. And here are the terms of the test. The God that sends fire and consumes the sacrifice is the true God. And so the prophets of Baal, they go first. And they begin to cry out and to plead with Baal to send fire and to consume the sacrifice to prove that he is God. And they even begin to cut themselves because they're so desperate and they're in such a frenzy desiring for their God to prove himself to be the true God. And Elijah then begins to do what I would call some sanctified trash talking to these prophets of Baal, and this is what he says. Listen to 1 Kings 18:27. "And at noon Elijah mocked them, saying, 'Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and needs to be awakened.'" This psalm is in contrast to that because our God, who is the true God, Baal wasn't God, obviously. Our God never sleeps. He never slumbers. And He protects us at all times and without failure. Our soul is safe because of our God. Then look in verses 5 through 8. I'll need to move just a little bit faster here. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Here's another statement that you can use as you encourage others who are pilgrims with you. The Lord will protect his people like shade from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord will protect his people like shade. That's what he says here. The Lord will be at your right hand. I learned this just at the end of the week this week as I was continuing to study this text. Usually, when a soldier was in battle, he would have his shield on his left arm. And so he was most vulnerable from the right side. So you would always want a friend who would be at your right side to protect you, to be shade in that sense to you. And that's what God is saying he is to his people. He protects us from the right side. Meaning he protects us. Notice the reference here, interestingly enough, to sun and moon, to day and night. This psalm says that God will protect his people from evil, evil that can be compared to suffering sunstroke or to being moonstruck. Now, in that day, there were phobias that people had related to the moon. They feared that the light from the moon could exert an influence on a person that would be damaging, that would cause a person to lose their mind or to act in ways that were unwise, that would cause pain and problems. If you think about the word lunar, which has to do with the moon, it's the root for the word lunatic, and that goes back to this way of thinking. And so what this psalm is saying is, whatever you might fear in the day, the heat of the sun as they're making their way to Jerusalem, and it would be super hot, the fear that they might experience sunstroke, or that even at night that they might be moonstruck, that they might have something happen that would cause their life to go off the rails, God is saying, I'll protect you. I'll be your shade against those things. You won't lose your life, pointing to you won't lose your soul, your eternal life, and you won't lose your mind. God will hold you fast. We sang lots of good hymns this morning. Here's another one that I think is relevant as we think about what's being said here. Come, thou fount. Listen to these words. Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. This psalm is saying, yes, you will. You will arrive safely at home because he will hold you fast because his faithfulness is great. He will keep you. Quite often, again, with Melody's parents, when we've left their house or they've left our house, we will have prayer with them, and quite often Melody's dad will quote, in your goings out and in your comings in, God will be with you. And that's a good way to pray as we come and go, because life is all about going from one place to another place, coming from one place, going to another place. God is with us. But ultimately what this points to is that God will bring us ultimately home. He will safely bring us to the New Jerusalem. Remember, these travelers were concerned that they might not, because of the hills, because of slipping, because of thieves, that they might not make it to the New Jerusalem. And so the point of the psalm for us today in Christ is we will make it home because God is faithful and he will. How do we know that? Listen to this text from the book of Romans. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not with him freely give us all things? God didn't spare his own son, but he delivered him up. He gave him over to the cross and to all that meant. And if he did that, how will he not, along with him, give us all of the other things that are promised to us in Jesus Christ? If he gave us the hardest thing that he could have given us. The most difficult thing for God to give us would have been His Son in the way that He gave Him for us. If He did that, then He will certainly, we can be assured, He will give us everything that has been promised to us and is offered to us in Jesus Christ. Eternal life, eternal joy, eternal glory. That's what this psalm points to. I don't want you to misunderstand this psalm, because some people do. These promises in this psalm are not guarantees of protection from earthly harm or physical death, but from eternal harm and spiritual death for God's people. This physical journey to a physical city really points ultimately to our eternal home and our spiritual journey as followers of Jesus Christ, and He will bring us home. That's what this psalm is saying to us. Jesus put it this way: I give to them eternal life, and they will never perish. Neither will anyone pluck them out of my hands. You know, I'm convinced every time you and I leave somewhere and arrive somewhere, whenever we have a safe arrival, we should thank God that we have had a safe arrival, but it also should remind us ultimately that we will also ultimately have a safe arrival in heaven, in the new city. God will keep us. John Newton put it this way: through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. That's what this psalm is saying. Let's bow and let's pray. Thank you, God, for your grace, for your unmerited kindness and favor to us from the beginning to the end of our journey. Thank you that you will hold us fast, that you will bring us home, that we will arrive safely, not because of our righteousness, but because of Jesus Christ, because you gave Him. You didn't spare Him, and He endured your wrath on the cross. He endured the bloody death of the cross, and then conquered death and rose from the dead, so that we could be assured that we would, through Christ, be saved, and that we would have eternal life. Father, thank you. Thank you for giving your Son. Thank you for giving Him on the cross. And through Him, we have our hope. And our only hope is in Christ and in the grace that we have through faith in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for those today who have not yet received this grace. I pray that there would be those today who, like the tax collector that we talked about earlier and prayed, thinking about earlier, that there would be people today who would realize that they've not yet sought forgiveness from you by trusting in Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. I pray today that they would say, God, have mercy to me, a sinner, on me, a sinner, through Jesus Christ, through what He has done and who He was. Show me mercy. Forgive me of my sins. Father, I pray that others of us would glory in the grace that we have received and will continue to receive until we are home. In Jesus' name.